All right, friends, we are live.
Excellent.
Hello.
Like we need some smoke, some fog, and lasers.
Did you like the intro?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I always ask everyone if they like the intro or not.
I never heard it, so I'm trying to air guitar it, but I don't know the cadence and everything, so I'm
You quite. Played pretty good air guitar to hearing it for your first time.
I think for a podcast, it was excellent. Good. Excellent air guitar.
I didn't want to go too much because I feel like if it was too hardcore metal, then it would kind of throw people off a little bit, you know? Even though, are you in a hardcore metal?
I am.
You are?
I mean.
Awesome. Yeah. This is going to be great. Yeah. All right, guys. So introduce yourselves.
Which one? Y'all both pointed at me at the same time, so I'll go first. I'm Chris Elliott. I've been dubbed the social coordinator for 1110 Garage. And yeah.
Nice, man.
I am JP Harris. I'm a member of 1110 Garage.
Is it squelching them out?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there we go.
So yeah, JP Harris. I'm a member of 1110 Garage. Been involved since the inception. Been riding for a super long time and
sweet
comrades
dude.
Here.
Hell yeah!
I'm Connemara McDonough. I am a member of 1110 Garage. I am also a co-host of the Moto Social Phoenix with Chris and a couple of other people, which we'll talk about.
Nice.
And I have a lot of motorcycles in the aforementioned garage.
So. Very cool. Yeah, you guys do some really rad shit. We're going to talk about, guys. So one thing is I always got to remind everyone that listens to this podcast, first off, thank you for listening. We're trying to bring the community together and relevant people to what we do. I'm trying as much as possible to get locals to get on here. And I think it's so awesome that you guys have taken the time out of your day to come here. I know you guys are huge Super Bowl fans and you're missing it right now. It's got to be detrimental. No.
Yeah. Go Eagles.
Ohio's and the Californias are playing and that's,
I don't even know who's playing.
I like Tigers.
Okay.
Dolphins? I don't know.
Is it? Patriots? I don't know. They're always there.
Some sort of animal.
I hope everybody has a fun time playing and
whoever wins. It should be a battle to the death.
Wins.
You know what I mean? Like at the end, if it's a tie, it shouldn't just be who gets the last touchdown. It should just be a battle to the death. Like knives and swords.
Like actual death? I'm totally into it.
I'll miss the whole entire thing just to watch that part.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just hope that whoever gets the ball into the end zone the most times wins because I think that would be fair.
Yeah. So for everyone that just listening and you're not familiar with 1110 Moto Garage, you should. All right. These guys are really amazing. They do a lot of local events, which we'll talk about, and they're very in tune with the motorcycle culture. They're really trying to push, you know what I mean, bringing the community together, which I've already mentioned. But I think it's really rad of what you guys are doing. So I guess my first question is, how did 1110 Moto Garage begin?
Oh, well, we, everybody here at this table currently is a member of a riding club called Blacklist Moto. And we've all had, you know, so a few of us have had shop space like in the past on our own. And we all kind of, you know, we ride a lot together. We hang out a lot together. We shared our friends, our old friend Jim had a big warehouse that we used to kind of crash at and hang out at. And so we were just thinking, you know, we should all pitch in instead of having, you know, our own individual spots. Why don't we just find a place that works for all of us that we can all hang out at?
Dude, I think that's super rad. Like, that's one thing I've always wished I was able to do is just like get your homies together and just have a place together that you can just hang out. That's kind of like where the shop is right now, but this podcast isn't about me. It's you guys. But I'm just saying, it's like, it's probably got to be an amazing feeling to just be able to hang out with the people that you already hang out with and just enjoy doing what you guys do. That's got to be awesome. So when did you guys start?
We started, I think Tim rented the space initially in probably September of 2019. And then in October, we kind of really got a hold of it. And then we started adding our stuff into there. You know, we built a stage, just, you know, brought in a bunch of helmets and gear and stuff that we had. So
get up close to that thing, bro. Like into the bottom of it. Really.
You can adjust it with this.
Yeah, lift it up. Lift it up a little bit.
Yeah, you can adjust it with this guy right here. Boom, boom. And then just.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
I try to get the good mics, but this just goes to show you that even the good mics, you still have to shove your face into it.
Yeah.
There we go.
Or else it'll kind of squelch you out.
Nice. Well, that's really cool, dude. So it's been around a couple years since it officially been established, and you guys are based out of South Phoenix, you know, Central.
Yeah, the shop is on Grand Avenue, so 1110 yeah. Grand Avenue.
Yeah, I love that area. I mean, downtown Phoenix is probably my favorite area to hang out with, to go to bars. I mean, you guys are in the area that probably, you know, like Valley Bar, and I mean, it's been a while since I've been out.
Bikini Lounge is right up the street.
Yep. Really?
You know, I didn't even know about that. Cornish Pasties around the corner. We got
Pasties, great.
Grand Ave Pizza Company directly across
Wayward
the street.
Wayward Tap House, which is amazing, and yeah. been really good.
Our friends at Wayward.
Grand, yeah.
So for those
Hawk Salvage right across the street too.
Not in Arizona, what would be your best kind of hangout spot if they came and grab a beer? Would you say
you should come to 1110 and pick up a beer from Wayward Tap House and bring it over?
I love it. Actually, I'm gonna crack this open.
Oh,
I'm very impressed.
Yes.
I'm very impressed with what you told me, but when you handed me this beer, so tell me about it.
So
you guys know about them.
The word kind of gets out about us through the community and people we hang out with. And we actually had 805 and Firestone Walker Brewing Company sent us an email just out of the blue. We heard about you guys. You know, we have some connections in Phoenix. And we'd love to partner with you all on any events or anything that you guys are doing. Let us know what we can help you out with. And so we scheduled a meeting with them, and they showed up to our shop, and we're looking around and saying, this is really cool. We like want to get involved, and here's six cases of beer.
Awesome.
Let us know how fast you go through this, and we'll try to keep up with you accordingly.
Dude.
So, yeah, we have... We have support from 805 and Firestone Walker now, which is cool. But anything outside of that, we always have our good friends down the street at Wayward. They've got a ton of craft beers there, as well as some wines and ciders and all kinds of good stuff there. And they've been really, really cool with us.
Food trucks.
Food trucks. And yeah.
Love me a good food truck.
Yeah, we pretty much, you know, we have everything we need within one block of our shop most of the time.
That makes things convenient. So if you need a beer or food, it's like right there.
Yeah, Grand Avenue Brewery is also right around the corner, so they have excellent barbecue and sausages and baked potatoes and all kinds of stuff there, and really good beer over there too.
Baked potatoes are so random.
Oh, it's great. You know, you get like a stuffed baked potato with pulled pork in it.
It's got to get loaded. Yeah, that's how I like loaded. My baked potatoes.
But they're also very, very cool. And
that's awesome.
Is it time to talk about ice cream?
Oh yeah.
Because
it's a good time to talk about ice cream.
It's always a good time.
Tell us about ice cream.
Novel Ice Cream is also right half a block from us in the same little courtyard that Wayward is in, along with Valorio Coffee and a couple of other businesses. I'm an ice cream person, connoisseur, addict, freak, and Novel is some of the best ice cream I've had.
So is it like slow churned, or how do they do it?
I believe it's slow churned. I would need to double check on the methodology, but it's very much small batch, handcrafted, and they do really cool stuff with the flavors.
Boutique ice cream.
And what do they do with the?
They shoved it in like a donut. Donuts. They shoved it in cookies.
What?
They make a donut like a ice cream donut. Sandwich.
And then you can get like Captain Crunch on the actual
diabetes. Like I'm gonna get diabetes.
Yeah,
like,
they can have my foot. I don't care.
Yeah.
So. Nice. But it's a really good little community down there, and there's, I mean, all kinds of businesses popping up and cropping up, and just a lot of really easy ways to support small business in Phoenix, which I dig.
Yeah. Rusty Spoke Bicycle Collective is right next to us, too. So they do a lot of co-op bicycle stuff for the community, which is cool,
that's
too.
Awesome, dude. I know there's a lot of people, at least in downtown, when I roll around, there's usually a big camaraderie of people that ride their bicycles just around town. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how do I get in that? You know what I mean? Like, well, obviously, you got to be part of the community and go out and support. But
yeah.
That's super rad, man. And honestly, if I didn't get the shop that we're currently at, I've been looking for downtown Phoenix for a very, very long time, and it's hard to actually get a spot. Not just that, but one that actually kind of fits your brand. So that's, you guys got it made.
It was happenstance, man.
Dude, that's awesome.
Tim, our friend Tim, also Blacklist member, a founding member of 1110, was just, I guess, driving around Phoenix looking for potential spots, and he saw... I think this shop had like literally a piece of particle board or something with spray paint that said for rent on it.
Oh, nice.
And a phone number, and he just called, and it happened, and that's where we're at. And it's perfect for what we do. It's nowhere near like hermetically sealed or anything like that. So it's like this dusty,
a little rag tag.
Like this, and we had to build it out. You know, we had to build our stage and electricity and a lot of the amenities that we have in there. But for a motorcycle shop and a hangout space, that's perfect.
Dude, that is the dream. Yeah. And you guys like have it all decked out. It is like it all, I'm a big person on branding. Obviously in apparel, like you got to have a specific branding, but it makes sense. Even though I haven't physically been there yet, which sucks because it's like I have no life. I'm stuck here at the shop, but I promise I'm going to make it down. And you guys are having an event coming down, right?
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
Yes.
The Front Row Motor Show. It's the second edition Front Row Motor Show.
Number two.
It's going to be on April 3rd.
Yes.
Second edition. Whatever you want to call it. It'll be on April 3rd. And it's going to be at the Churchill right downtown, which is...
I love Churchill.
Yeah, Churchill's super cool space. Yeah. You know, for those who've not been there, it's built out of shipping containers. It's got like a big like a sunken living room kind of feel when you walk in there. Mm-hmm. It's probably sunken down maybe 5 feet or so. And you walk in and like all these different shipping containers are different businesses. You know, there's a bar, there's a... I don't remember the name of the places in there now.
But they have, I think, Pizza, State 48 I saw in there. Yeah.
State 48.
So it's all like local Stoop business.
Kid or something like that.
Yeah.
Sandwiches. And yeah. There's a pizza place in there, I think, too.
Freak Brothers.
Yep. Yep.
They have a nice setup, though. It's like perfect where for a bar, because when I go somewhere, I like to feel more at home, you know? And a lot of these bars in downtown Phoenix, for those listening, if you're in town, that's probably the place to go. There's not one place that I've kind of been downtown where I was just like, this is not my vibe. Like everyone has a different vibe. It makes sense. Mm-hmm. But Churchill is perfect for a spot like that.
Absolutely.
Like the patio setting, like all the tables, like picnic style, and you just kind of feel like you're just a hangout spot for your friends.
And it's really cool to be able to go, you know, pick and choose the type of food you want, right? Pick and choose the, you can go to State 48 and you can go to the cocktail bar. There's a wine shop and the coffee space shop. In between, coffee shop. The space in between is communal, right? So everybody can go get different stuff. And the important thing is that you're hanging out with the people you want to hang out with.
Yeah.
As we talked about, you know, and it's just, again, that whole spirit of collaboration, I think, is a really good fit for what we do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, I appreciate you guys. You invited us out. So thank you. Yeah. And it's going to be super awesome. I mean, that's going to be a great event and I'm excited to see it. So
it's super cool. And we're happy that the Churchill has been so accommodating. We had our first show over Memorial Day, 2021. And we didn't really know what to expect. We were encouraged by the Law Tigers to put on our own moto show. And they helped us out with some support.
Did you meet Jay at Law Tigers?
Yeah, Jay's awesome. And Brian. And they're great guys. And Law Tigers are awesome. They've been really supportive. And out of the just like nothing, we made this thing. And over 1,500 people showed up, I think we counted.
Wow.
And this is all to our small 2,000 square foot warehouse on Grand Avenue. And we had, I think we estimated about 300 bikes lining both sides of Grand Avenue.
Wow.
And we quickly realized at that point that we need a bigger boat. Churchill clearing out that center courtyard, putting all our showcase bikes. They're shutting down First Street.
Oh, you're taking the whole street.
They're closing the street. They're closing the parking lot across the street. And then we're going to set you guys up as kind of the mainstay for the automotive shop that's across that street. It's like a big empty old automotive shop.
Yeah.
We're going to have live music in there. We're going to have people getting tattoos. We're going to have people doing barber haircuts. Live.
You're already getting me pumped. Dude, it's not even happening.
Live pinstriping, live art, live music. Like I think I just said that. And we're going to get Hayfley Bros to have a couple hot rods in there. They have agreed to bring a hot rod or two down. Some of our buds with cars if we have enough room. And then mostly just a bunch of really cool motorcycles also in that space. So we're going to have like two indoor showcase areas plus First Street for all the show and shine bikes that roll up for the day of.
Dude, that's
it's
going to
be really cool with lots of support from a lot of local businesses and a lot of out of town businesses too have jumped on. Like our friends from Go Fast Don't Die have sent a bunch of stuff down. Kevin from Moto Chop Shop in LA sent us a bunch of gear. Stellar Motorwear is like a women's motorwear line. And they came down last time and partied with us. It was really cool.
That's the thing about the apparel industry. It's like, I noticed that when you stick with those people and, we're going to hook you up with some stuff. You guys are doing some raffles, right?
Yeah.
Stuff like absolutely. That. Yeah. So, I have noticed that you've got to be particular with like who you're bringing out to. Like it's kind of got to make sense.
Exactly.
You know? So I appreciate you guys inviting us out. That's super awesome.
And speaking of a raffle, the charity partner this year is Cowtown Skate, which is
I'm familiar.
Phoenix's Cowtown Skateboards. They have their own charity where they provide skateboards and equipment to youth within Arizona that probably wouldn't normally be able to have that kind of access to that stuff.
That is so awesome.
They're gonna benefit from our raffle, and any of the items donated will go towards them. So
one thing I've learned very quick is that Arizona has a tight camaraderie, and it is a very, very small world. You know what I mean? Like, you never know who you're going to meet when you go out somewhere, and it's just like, you could just bump into someone, and then, you know, it could turn into something really cool like that. So,
oh, you know him, you know them, you know her.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So I guess my other question is, you know, you guys have a lot of more cafe racer style, but I'm sure you guys have done and worked in and ride all kinds of bikes. You guys don't have a particular, you know, you have to have this style to roll with this kind of deal. It's just the life of two wheels.
Exactly.
Yeah. So the other night at our Two Wheel Tuesday, our monthly Two Wheel Tuesday event, which happens on the second Tuesday of every month. I did it, didn't I? I got it right. A woman walked up and she's a friend of a friend. She came in, she had just moved to Arizona. And she, I can't remember what kind of bike she said she rode, right? It was a modern, smaller Japanese cruiser, right? No idea what it was. She was almost embarrassed to say it. And she was like, my bike's not cool. And three different members of the shop all looked at her and said, is it a bike? Then it's cool. And I got a text message from her yesterday saying, I can't wait to ride with you guys. And
that's awesome.
It made me feel really good to be able to do that. And that's, you know, we welcome everybody. Our show last year, the bike that won best in show was a Harley.
Nice. And yeah, it was a built owner's or builder's choice.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah,
and was that Joe's bike?
Yeah, Joe's Harley. Yeah. It was like a 50s Harley. Yeah. And then People's Choice was this really cool BMW Airhead from Wild Garage. Mm-hmm. And then there was a really nice 1951 Triumph Bobber that we picked as our favorite. Yeah. Yeah, tons of different types of bikes. There was a Honda Rebel Chopper like that was amazing, beautiful bike.
Yeah.
Somebody brought a three-wheel, like a completely, like, it looked like a World War II, like, airplane, three-wheeled, like, contraption. It was amazing.
Yeah, some kind of
tons
crazy,
of cool stuff.
Crazy, like,
was it green?
It was camouflage.
Yeah, because I've seen Law Tigers, I think, had one at their tent. I think it was Arizona Bike Week in 2020. It's not maybe be the same one. Did it have a sidecar?
No, it was wheels up, it's front, like, one wheel in the back.
The sidecar one stuff you're talking about. Usually, there's some guys that show up at the pavilions. They're into, you know, old World War II militaria. And they've got their Urals with, you know, 50 cals and stuff mounted on them. You know,
yeah.
Which is cool.
Those Euros are pretty sick. Yeah. I mean, I just saw one the other day at there's a bike repair shop next door. So every once in a while, like I see the same bikes all the time. You know what I mean? And that's what I love about the whole motorcycle culture is that you can make it how you want it to be, you know, and then you don't have to cater to everyone else's liking and what they want style. So you have full creativity towards doing that. And that's what I love about it, man.
That's what it's about for sure.
No, I love nothing more than seeing a badass Triumph. I mean, that's honestly one of my favorites. So, do you guys build the bikes, or do you guys work on your own stuff? Do you take care of like customers for builds, or what?
We're not a business. We are just a private workshop space that we split. So all of the bikes that are currently in the shop belong to the members, and we just use it as an extension of our own homes. Really,
yeah.
A lot of us live in apartments, don't have a place to keep all of our toys and tools.
Yeah.
So it really is really helpful. Been helpful to a lot of us in that regard.
Well, it's kind of a hybrid, you know, Aspire Cycle. And then, you know, it's over the past 2.5 years, it's been a little bit of a rotating door kind of thing. There's a few guys that have come in for a few months and left. And, when you know, it's a communal space, but there's also, like, if you want to, like, have your shop in that space, you can kind of do that and do your own work there if you want to. So it's kind of like that, too. But it's not, yeah, the garage itself is not a business.
You know? Gotcha. Yeah. So, if you wanted to and you're part of your crew, like, you can come in and work on your bike at your shop.
Yeah.
And then you got all your friends with you to help you out, too. Like, yeah. I love that. That's awesome.
That's what it is for me. So I came to riding pretty late in the game. I've been riding for maybe 10 years, 12. I have a lot of old vintage bikes, and I don't know how to work on them. Uh-huh. So for me, I've got all the room in the world, you know, where I live. But I joined the shop because I wanted that expertise and to learn from the people there. And so I think each of us has our own, you know, sort of reason for wanting to be there.
Yeah.
And it works out for all of us.
Vintage bikes are a little finicky. Like, yeah. I told you guys earlier, I think my first bike was a CB750, and everyone knows a story about that. I don't want to go into it, but that was fun. You know what I mean? And I've had several bikes since then, but every time I've gotten a new bike, it's like my ideas and my vision for what I want it to be, it's always been a different stance, like different style, like everyone's personality is different. And it's just kind of a reflection of like who you are, you know. And I love when you go to an event, you go to a bike show that you guys are doing that, and you guys do your Two Wheel Tuesdays, which we'll talk to in a second. But the fact that, like, you go to an event and you build the bike your way, there's nothing better than someone coming up to you and say, how did you do that? You know, what made you think about doing that? It makes you feel kind of good, you know. But talk about your guys' Two Wheel Tuesdays you guys do.
Why would you have such a cool shop space if you don't want to open it up to other people, right?
I agree.
To open houses. So, you know, we usually, as Blacklist, we ride on Tuesday nights. It's kind of our Tuesday night ride. But we figured, since we all have this cool shop, why don't we set up one of those Tuesday nights per month as kind of a base camp at 1110 and host an open house.
I love that. And you get to meet a bunch of new people too, you know, and it's a good way to expand your brand. Or I don't know if you guys consider yourself brands, but I think it is, because you guys actually have a specific style. Like, it all makes sense. If you guys don't follow them on Instagram, you should, for one. Yep. And you'll understand who they are, and it'll make a lot more sense than just hearing it on a podcast. But I mean, you guys are doing some really rad shit. Stuff that I kind of wish, like, we have our monthly car and bike shows, but it's a little different. Cause we got cars and bikes. So, like, not everyone can relate all the time, but it's a good way to bring the community together and have some fun and meet some new people. So,
yeah, that's what it's all about. You know, like, a lot of, like, newer riders, I don't think they want to go up to, like, Cave Creek and, you know, jump in the middle of, like, the Hideaway or, you know, and all these, you know,
big,
like, MC
bikes
style kind of guys, you know. It's, I guess it could be intimidating if you're, you know, a 20-year-old person who's, right, you know, been riding for 3 months. So it's kind of that open door policy. Come in and hang out with us and talk with us. And, you know, a lot of people, like, they buy a bike, not knowing anything about them, and they get it and they realize that, you know, this is not the bike that I want, or not the aesthetic that I want. And, you know, we can kind of just, as a community, steer them in a right direction that, you know, like, you know, you can walk into the shop and see all kinds of different bikes, and then they can look at, I like this, I like this, and then kind of just educate themselves on the different, you know, kind. You know, because, like just the random person who buys a bike doesn't know anything about, okay, a V-twin, a parallel twin, inline four. Mm-hmm. It's just an engine, you know, and then those kind of engines are in different style of bikes, and it fits different aesthetics. And so, you know, it's a good way to get directed in a way you want to go.
Yeah, it's like inspiration. You know, you see a bike out there and you might not know anything about it. I've met tons of people that are just straight up and they say, I don't know anyone in the area. I'm kind of embarrassed of what I ride, or, you know, it's not the style. Like, everyone kind of, although we do a lot of Harley stuff, I like to differentiate and not be so Harley anymore. And I'm not afraid to admit that. And we're trying to push towards that direction and try to branch out. Because not everyone, they just see our stuff and think, like, it's just Harley guys, you know. And we're just trying to be like, no, you got two wheels and you have fun. We got a lot of people that are Indians that come out, you know. It doesn't matter really what it is. Just come out and have fun. That's really all it's about.
You know, I moved to Phoenix in October of 2019. So right as these guys were getting going.
From where?
Most recently, the Midwest, Wisconsin. Okay. But I'm originally from the East Coast. So
you got good cheese curds.
I'll bring this some next time. I don't like them. That's
me
for another
either.
Podcast. They're so good. I don't want my food to squeak.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I moved here and I didn't know anyone. And I moved alone. I moved very suddenly for a job, and I brought my bike down by myself. And I was just, I guess I'm going to go ride. And I was heading for South Mountain one day, and GPS took me down Grand Avenue, and I saw the door open. And I saw all the vintage bikes. This is all I'd seen was Harleys, right?
Mm-hmm.
I turned around. Stuck my face in the door, basically like, what are you doing in here, and may I do it with you? And
can we be friends?
Yeah, I begged, and these guys will hate Tim forever for doing it, but no, they invited me right in. There
awesome.
Was a ride the next day and just made me feel super welcome. When the pandemic hit, JP and I kept in touch a lot, and it's literally, this community has afforded me a life here.
Yeah.
You know? And then I joined, what, 8 months later or so?
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Yeah, be grateful for it.
Are you guys, what's your past as far as, has it always just been motorcycles? You guys, hot rods, you go to the car shows, you mentioned pavilions. So.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a petrol head. So, like, from the time I've been riding since 1979. So I started on dirt bikes, like little Suzuki JR50. But from the time I could walk, I was into Formula One, MotoGP. Well, it was just Grand Prix motorcycle racing at the time. But yeah, anything that's exotic and expensive, and yeah, I'm there.
Nice.
So, what?
Like me.
Like Connemara.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Not like
you. I am neither of those things.
What about you guys? You guys kind of grew up in that whole scene, or is it kind of fairly new, or cars and bikes, or what?
I was a very dedicated motorcycle passenger for a number of years. Mm-hmm. Grew up with a lot of friends and boyfriends with a lot of BMWs, a lot of modern classics, and finally just decided that I wanted my own a lot later than I think a lot of people do. But yeah, I grew up in a very downtown neighborhood in Washington, D.C. There were no motorcycles or dirt bikes in my world at all. So
yeah,
I just kind of happened into it.
Nice.
Yeah, for me, my dad was always into British car, or like British and Japanese cars,
mm-hmm.
Like small, you know, kind of autocross type cars.
Like the Mini Cooper?
He had a lot of older Triumph cars, mm-hmm. like a Spitfire, and he had an MG, and he had a Datsun 510, and he had older Honda Civic, you know, and he was always modifying them and working on them. So when I came around, unfortunately, I think he had to give a lot of that stuff up, traded it for a Volkswagen Vanagon or something that we had for a while. But yeah, as I came into
Vanagons are cool.
It was cool. I loved it better than the Caravan we had after. But yeah, when I became, you know, old enough to start to drive, that's when we started getting back into cars, and we were always working on the cars that we had. Just if it was something we could do ourselves, we did it.
Yeah.
And then it went into, you know, him kind of encouraging me which route to take for my first car, and us kind of working on it together. But it wasn't until later on when I turned 21, somewhere around there, that me and my roommate at the time somehow got into this attraction to cafe racers. And I was like, you know what? We can afford, if we go and get an old bike, we can split it and start working on it and figure it out how it works. So I went and got a Honda CB360.
Nice.
Just kind of like, and he kind of like teetered out. He wasn't really into it as much as I was. So I started fixing it up, and that's how it started. Got a CB750 for my second bike.
Yeah.
After that 360. And then ever since then, it's just been kind of growing and growing and teaching myself how to do stuff, you know?
I was surprised the CB750, how much that thing books.
Oh yeah.
You know, I was like, whoa, what about a 900?
That was the,
kind of the first super bike, really, you know?
Yeah.
I have a weird thing for large boxy early.
Yeah, you do.
Bikes. I've got a BMW K75S. I've got I'm not right.
The CB with the giant turn signals.
Yeah.
I mean, if like it's not the better.
When those things are on, like, you're turning.
Move out of the way.
The brake light's like the size of a cinder block.
Oh, yeah. Old school styles of bikes.
I like the rectangles.
Yeah, she's driving a vintage bike for sure. Yeah. Go ahead.
I was saying, you know, you're talking about like into cafes and stuff like that. Like, I've always been in that too. Like, I don't remember exactly when that kind of appealed me, but I remember specifically, like, there was an episode of Chips back in probably 83, because I think Chips ran from like maybe 78 to like 83 or 4.
I was born in 88, so I don't know.
Okay.
But continue.
Yeah, we're old. I'm old.
I'm older.
But yeah, you're older.
Thanks.
But there's an episode of Chips where Bruce Jenner at the time, he was riding in some kind of a cafe race with, I don't know, Ponch and John and stuff, you know, and there were a bunch of old GPZs and KZ1000s and stuff in there. And that's probably the first memory of me, you know, being attracted to that kind of bike. Except like one of the bikes I have now is an 81 GPZ 550, which is the first year for that bike. And that was the first bike I saw in the dealerships new that really appealed me too. So, and like, I was, I don't know, 8 or 9. And, you know, I didn't realize it was a cafe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really boxy. It was super cool, great colors. And, you know, I had to have that.
I love the old BMW styles. They have that kind of box tank. Yeah. That was, and I think my thing that I love about the cafe racer style is that the aesthetics, when it's done right, it looks like literally like a piece of art. You know, when it's done right, the stance is right. You got the right wheels, the right setup. I mean, and obviously the right seat, like if it all makes sense and it flows right, it literally looks like a GP bike and some of them that I've seen.
Well, yeah, so, you know, I mean, that's, you know, back in the day, you couldn't just buy a sport bike. Mm-hmm. You know, you had to buy a Triumph and turn it into a race bike. So that's where the whole cafe aesthetic came from, you know.
Stripping down bikes and...
Yeah.
We were at the Buddy Stubbs Museum today and having that exact same conversation where, you know...
That's an amazing museum.
It was so cool. We got to meet Buddy.
Like, spend their hours.
Been,
oh, yeah.
A big day today. Yeah.
Very cool.
But we were talking with the guy who kind of does the tour guide, watches I Don't Steal.
Older gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah, he's super nice. Yeah. And I think he was keeping an eye. He did tell Buddy to watch the metal detectors when he was leaving. I was looking at old Triumph tank badges. But we were really just talking about how, whether it's the type of bike you want to ride or what you're into, just looking at them as objects, you know, they can just be, you can have respect for the beauty and just the work that somebody's put into it. And, mm-hmm. you know, I may never want to get on that, whatever it was, little 51 scooter looking Triumph thing, but it was beautiful.
You want to get on it.
I kind of do. No, but it's just a beautiful thing. And I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
I think we all do.
So those not listening, if you ever are in Arizona, in Phoenix, Buddy Stubbs Harley Davidson, they actually have a museum and it is full. I want to say at least over 200 bikes or maybe more, but they're all kind of crammed together in a museum. And it kind of tells you a story and the history of like Harley Davidson and not just Harleys. They have a ton of different styles and models that Buddy's collected.
There's more European bikes in there than there are Harleys.
Yeah.
He told us today he had more Triumphs, and he talked to, I think maybe because of the audience, but that he talked more about the Triumphs than anything else.
Nice.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, he's got some really cool. And I was like, would he ever sell these? the guy that gives the tour, he's like, nope.
No way.
Nope.
So, yeah, that's pretty
rad. What I've heard is, like, you know, Buddy, the bikes in his museum are the ones he loves, and he sells Harleys, you know, because they sell and you make a living, you know, pay the bills that way. But the stuff in his museum is the stuff that he loves.
Mm-hmm. You know? That makes sense. I mean, I can only imagine how much all that stuff is worth in there, but oof.
Yeah, there's some valuable... rides in there for sure.
Nice. So what do you guys, what's your typical ride? Like if you guys go out for a ride together, what's your spot? What's your favorite spot?
We always try to alternate it because we don't want to get stuck in the same routine.
Good point.
Yeah, I mean, we've been all over the place. We go out of state sometimes to different shows in California and Texas. Even if we're not riding there, we'll take our bikes with us if we can, or fly there and just hang out. Yeah. JP, you want to hit on some of the rides we do?
Like locally, you know, South Mountain, obviously, like through Galvin Parkway and stuff. And there's like, I live up in Sunny Slope. There's a lot of kind of like urban twisties up there that if you don't live in the area, like I can lead these guys on a ride. You know, a lot of people just don't realize where you're going or whatever. there's like up to Prescott, the back way through Yarnell. That's awesome.
I love
awesome
that
ride.
One.
You know, go up through the spars and it's super twisty all the way up there. Like a lot of the times, like if I'm going to do some distance, I'll go, even just by myself, I'll go that whole loop up through Wickenburg, through Yarnell, through, Prescott,
then Flag or
Sedona to Oak Creek Canyon to Flagstaff over to, Pine and Strawberry. And
that's a good one. I love it up north. It's so like, there's so much green and there's always a different scene when you especially go down that ride. That is probably one of my favorites. So that's super rad.
We do Gillespie Dam, Gillespie Bridge. We were in, my boyfriend and I were in Ajo yesterday. We rode all the way down there, and that was great. We do Saguaro Lake, Roosevelt Lake, a bunch.
Bartlett
Tortilla
Lake.
Flat.
Bartlett Lake's great.
Yeah, Bartlett, except for the curse of Bartlett.
Yeah, something always happens every time.
Yeah,
that's so funny. I had a couple buddies that just went on recently, and either the tire popped or he actually went off the road and hit the rail.
Ours
He's good.
More legal troubles.
Well, except for my rear brake caliper fusing together for no reason. Yeah, that was fun.
People getting
on the Ascot.
I think there's some alien stones out there or something that kind of throws the bikes something off. Weird. You know, this is sacred land. You cannot ride here.
You know what? It could be. But there's so much to do here. There's so many different rides, you know, and that to me, especially coming from having been a flatlander for a while, I really had to relearn how to ride. I wasn't used to roads that go up and down and curve. Yeah. So it's been really interesting for me. There's never a dull moment. There's always something cool to do, even if you've got 20 minutes to do it in.
Yeah.
Super rad.
Yeah.
So you guys are working with obviously some really badass companies. Do you guys have any plans for like any kind of collabs or like an events with them, or are you just kind of taking it day by day?
Currently, we have a few. We're working with on a collaboration with State 48 to do a shirt for our Front Row Moto show. We're working on a beer collaboration with the Shop Beer Company in Tempe. They are going to make a beer and a custom can for the show. Anything else is open. You know, we're open. And I feel like now is a great time for a lot of people to start exploring those possibilities because everything's opening up again, and people are getting more excited about events and collaborating with people. And yeah, we're always open. We don't operate as a business. So that's what kind of is a little bit difficult because we don't have a lot of capital or overhead, I guess you could say. We just kind of, we have our space and we pay for it. We use it for what we want. We sell merch out of there. We sell shirts and patches and stickers to kind of help us keep the fridge stocked and like sell.
It puts your branding on people's backs. Yeah, so they're like, I know those guys.
It helps offset our rent a little bit, but yeah, we're totally open to collaborating with anyone who would like to either set up an event. We've got an event coming up in March with Short Leash Hot Dogs. They have the Melrose Festival. We're going to do kind of a mods versus rockers motorcycle and scooter show type thing.
Is that on Camelback and close to Camelback?
7th Avenue. 7th Avenue. A little south of Camelback. Yeah. Cool.
They have a lot of antique shops that are down there.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes I'll just take the day off, me and the wife, and then we'll just go antique shopping and find some really rad stuff. So,
yeah, cool that stuff whole neighborhood is dangerous.
Yeah, it's a place to do it for sure.
I mean, the antique shops down here in Phoenix are not hard to find. They are literally everywhere. So
another note on collaborating is we are Connemara and I are 2 out of 4 of the hosts for the Phoenix chapter of the Moto Social, which is a monthly meetup. And Connemara, you talk about how, you know, we kind of split up with a bunch of different local businesses and try to help out as much as we can.
Yeah. So this, I don't know how long it's been going on, 5-6 years, but it started in Toronto and it's gone global. There are Moto Socials in Hamburg. There are Moto Socials in Paris. There's a Moto Social in Cape Town now.
New Zealand,
all over the place. And really the whole thing is good vibes only. And come if you're interested in bikes or interested in meeting cool people or interested in anything peripheral to bikes, and just come and hang out and meet up. And so it rotates. It's the first Thursday of every month from 7 to 9. Whenever. 9-ish. That's what we'll commit to. And then after that, you're on your own. But it's gone. We started in Phoenix at Short Leash Hot Dogs for our first one. This is our first year in Phoenix, so it's kind of exciting. And then we've gone to Mesa. We've gone to Tempe. We have gone back to Phoenix and so on and so forth. And it's really just we partner with these businesses, welcome people in. We talk bikes. We talk whatever. Just hang out. There's no press on anything. There's no, like, nothing's for sale. There's no merch. There's no nothing. It's literally
not too crazy serious.
Just
come
hang out. It truly is the Moto Social.
Bike or no bike, come hang out. Yeah. We've Short Leash, Casey Moore's, Cider Core, Sip Coffee and Beer. All these places have been welcomed us in and just opened up their spot to host this event. Mm-hmm. And like I said, on the note of collaboration, we've had a lot of people that say, you know what, I've never heard of this place and I'm definitely going to come back here. So a lot of these businesses have been really appreciative of the crowd that we've brought in on a night that they wouldn't normally have people in there. Plus return customers that they gain because they find these really cool, unique places to hang out at.
Yeah.
So
yeah, no, that's awesome. I think the pandemic kind of really told people, you know, to go back to your roots and slow down and enjoy, you know, the process. And I've personally took some time just working on my bikes in the garage, just turning everything off. And it kind of reminded me to be centered, like how we began. So I kind of appreciate how that all started. But the fact that you guys actually support other businesses and do that, like, I could tell from you guys, this is the first time we actually like hung out that you guys just genuinely enjoy doing this shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You're not expecting anything back from it. You're just enjoying the process and meeting cool, rad people.
Yeah, we just want to have a good time.
Yeah.
What it comes down to.
It's totally mutual. You know, just get what you give.
Yeah. No, that's huge in the motorcycle community too. So it's just, you know, I'm glad to see at least someone's doing that. From my knowledge, I don't see anyone else doing that at your guys' level and just doing it for fun. You know what I mean? Like, and not expecting any kind of compensation for doing those kind of things. So that's, like, that's rare. You know what I mean? Like, it takes a lot of time, and I'm sure you're aware, to plan out an event and to keep up with that and then talk to all these vendors and make sure people showing up. Like, And you, Chris, you're the one who does it, right? I was the one that was texting you.
Yeah, I've helped, but yeah.
It's Chris does a lot. Chris does an social awful coordinator. Lot.
He's the point man.
Yeah. But it's, you know, it's to your point. You know, we all say, why isn't anybody doing this? Why isn't anybody doing this? And, you know, we as a group, but I will give credit where it's due. Chris is the one who says, we can do this, mm-hmm. and here's how we're going to do it, you know? And then we all just kind of pitch in and you know, like for the front row show, I'm involved in a little side committee with another one of our members, JP2. We have, what, four
yeah,
JPs?
Two JPs?
We have like four? So yeah, many four, JPs. Yeah. It's a, so many JPs.
So JP1, JP2, JP3?
Yeah, it's so loud. I don't know what they're going to do last, because JP is last year and, you know, whatever.
We're going to have to start giving everybody the, you know, the biker nicknames.
So what does JP stand for?
Juan Pablo.
James, I'm going to call you that.
James Patrick.
Oh, okay. Are all of them James Patrick? Are they?
No, I think they're all probably, I don't know.
John Paul, I think, is JP2.
Something like that, yeah.
Jeff Paymer doesn't even count as a JP.
JP. I mean, Jeff Paymer. Yeah,
he's got to be. Yeah, the coolest
Jeff.
Yeah,
he's just Jeff.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
He's just Jeff.
There's a hierarchy, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's two of them that have come around a couple times. But the mainstays are JP1 and JP2.
Yeah, and I think also JP4 is a Smitty. We'll have an org chart.
We'll figure it out. anyway.
Where were we going? Anyway, so JP and I are like, you know, we have certain strengths. So we're, you know, helping out with certain parts of the show. And we just kind of find it where it is, you know, like, We just make it happen, and all it really does take is there's literally no reason we can't do this, so let's make it happen.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. You guys are like a team, you know, and you know your strengths and weaknesses. You know what you're good at, and I feel like if you do have that and you know it, everyone has their kind of role of what they want to do, like, I could see it turning into something big, you know what I mean? If everyone just sticks to their thing and they're enjoying it and they're having fun, like, why would you not want to do that?
Yeah.
You know?
The main goal, I think, with the show anyway is to try to promote what Arizona can do and what Arizona has.
Yeah.
And
I think Arizona needs that.
Yeah. And it's as being one of the most perfect states for motorcycle owners, like, why the heck hasn't there been something like this? I mean, there Arizona Bike Week is cool, but it's really just, it's only focused on a certain type of motorcycle community. And there are several other shows that we love going to, like the Handbuilt Show in Austin, the One Moto Show in Portland.
Those are two I really want to go to this next year.
They're excellent. And the OG Moto Show in California and several other things like the VVMC Rally. There are always so many different types of bikes at those things. And it's like, why can't we do that in Phoenix? And it is, we can do it. Somebody just needs to make it happen. And we, as a group, have just been like, you know what, I think we should do it, see what happens, and it's working out.
That's what it comes down to. You know, you see all these events, and then, you know, Phoenix is a big city, but, you know, it's like a little brother, little sister to, like, L.A., and L.A. is, like, the epicenter of everything, obviously, motor-related or car-related, and we just don't have that same scene. So, yeah, we want to try to bring at least some of that here, and you know, everything here is pretty much, as far as motorcycles, obviously, in most places, it's Harley-centric.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's not my aesthetic.
Right.
I like Japanese and European stuff.
No one's going to get offended, by the way. Yeah. I know that we're all Harleys here, but trust me, everyone loves bikes.
You know, everybody has their own thing.
Yeah.
And as far as like the vintage scene, the European scene, there's outside of us, there's really nothing going on.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, if the other bases are covered, well, let's cover our own bases and appeal to those people.
Right. And that's why I like what you guys do. And that's why I wanted to get here and sit talk. And you guys are just like, I already knew you were cool, but like on the level cool. You know what I mean? Like, because now I actually get to know and meet you guys. And it's just been great seeing that. And I really do feel like Arizona does need that. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, there is Born Free and their Handbuilt show, but all these other shows are like out of state. You know, Phoenix and Arizona just in general is so huge. I mean, everywhere I go, I see motorcycles. So it's like, why not bring that here? Yeah. And I feel like people do need to have that. So,
yeah. And we're happy to provide that kind of thing. And just because we love it and we already do it in our own little, already in our own little pocket. So why not open it up and get more people involved and have a good time and make it into I want to see our state be a place where people, like, we look at Handbuilt show and go, I want to go to Austin for Handbuilt. I want other people to look at us and say, I want to go to Arizona for Front Row Moto show.
You know, I think really you cool. guys can do it, man. So that's awesome. So JP told me the bike that he has, told me the bike that you have, but what are you riding?
Oh, what I ride currently is I have a Scrambler, Triumph Scrambler 1200.
Nice.
I work at Phoenix Triumph, so I got a little bit of a deal, I guess, on it. But I've liked Triumph since I've owned a Triumph before I started working there. So
nice.
I'm not, you know, like, it's not just due to the fact I work there.
I do not like a shill.
Right. I do like them. And I've always been looking at getting one. And then just in December of, I think it was November, December of 19, I actually bought my Speed Twin.
Nice.
Which now is in the hands of Connemara here. She loves it.
Thank you. I love my Speed Twin.
Yeah, I love this, that old school cafe racer, European looking bikes, and coming from CBs. And, you know, and in my opinion, nobody makes retro bikes as good as Triumph does at this time. And that was just like my, you know, if I'm going to get a new bike, I want it to look old school. I want it to have that vibe. And the Triumph Bonneville line was just exactly what I wanted to be.
So. Bonneville's great. I like what they did with it. And they kind of still stuck. Like, I like seeing retro old school style anything, but then flipping it in a way where it's modernized, but has that easy functionality that you can actually take it on the road and have that reliability. Nothing wrong against vintage bikes. I love vintage, but you can't take that across state lines without maybe having a thought in your head that some might happen.
I have discovered fuel injection.
Oh, yeah.
That is actually really nice. Yeah. It's,
all I've had was carb before I got that bike.
I know.
So
this is literally, it's my first 1200, my first fuel injected bike, and it's bizarrely convenient.
How nice is it to just flick your switch and then be on the road, not having it to warm up?
So nice. Yeah. And I also have rain mode, which also works for dirt mode, I found out. Whoa. So yeah, I have all this fancy
stuff. There's
also
sport mode.
Ooh. Yeah, sport mode is like, sport mode and I are getting to know each other.
Some of the turbos kick in and
it is ridiculous. It's nice. Absurd. It's front wheel off the ground by.
Is it just as easy as like flicking a switch and you're, wow.
Yeah.
I love that, man. Technology's gone a long way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel weird not re-cranking the numbers back to zero at the gas station. I'm getting used to that slowly. I've never had to not do that before, so but I'm getting there.
Like, to your point about vintage bikes, you know, like, I've had some people give me shit about trailering a vintage bike to, like, to California, because we generally do a couple trips to California each year, right? And the thing is, like, I want to ride in California, not to California. and on top of that, I really don't want a chance, you know, taking my 1981 bike, you know, a 1,000-mile trip.
Yeah.
You know, and worry about it. I just get it there and ride while I'm there and enjoy it instead of, you know, chancing the possibility of it breaking down the road and then ruining the entire trip. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm going to go on a real trip, I'm going to hop on my big, I've got a big, like, Yamaha Super Tenere 1200.
Oh, nice.
Adventure bike, too. So that's my distance bike.
Adventure bikes are great.
Yeah.
They are. I love
it. And the Scramblers, you know, those are
basically
like
retro adventure bikes.
Yeah.
Scrambler 1200.
Yeah. One of my sports was I converted into, like, I told you guys earlier, like a cafe racer style. And if you guys saw it, you wouldn't be impressed. Let's just say that.
I did
another sports and I converted it to like a tracker, but it had the off-road tires. So I was able to take it on the road and off the road. And I love all kinds of bikes. I could do that. Not just Harleys and stuff, but I'm a big fan of the BMW adventure bikes. I think they've gone in the right direction. So yeah,
those are top of the line.
Yeah.
The Tigers,
you gotta get some coin.
You like that Triumph Tigers have been a really big hit lately with the Tiger 900s, and they're coming out with new ones. I won't talk about that stuff.
I'm not going to lie. I don't know too much about those, but I don't have to look into it now.
Yeah. Lay out here's the 2022 Triumph line here.
Come to Phoenix Triumph if you want to.
Oh, yeah, that's where you're at, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we all work. We all work outside of 1110. It's just our love. What do you call that?
Not even love.
It's a labor of love.
For me, it's lifestyle.
Yeah, it's just our spot.
Word.
Yeah,
since I was 5 years old.
We all work, and it's a labor of love, and we don't expect anything out of it except a good time, just like we were talking about. We just want to have a good time and be able to share that with people.
Right. Like, most of my background has to do, honestly, with like old school classic cars and like retro style. And I used to go to the pavilions all the time and the tuner scene, and I went through all that. And then I went through the sport bike scene, and then it moved into, you know, where we're at today. But I would say probably in the last 8-9 years, it's been motorcycles. But prior to that, just growing up as a kid, I loved to just go to any car shows. It didn't matter what it was, you know. And that feeling of being able to do that back then and then bringing it here now, like back to what you guys are doing, I think that's, like, I get that feeling when I go to a show. It's just kind of like, I feel like a kid again, you know? Like, I get to see and hang out with so many people that are like-minded. That's what I love about that.
It's about building the community, really.
Yeah. Cool. So if you guys were to name one spot for anyone that coming down here, like your go-to spot, they got food, they got drinks, like, people need to know about Phoenix. And I know you got a lot of homies in the food industry and in restaurants. What would you say?
Oh, wow.
Well, we mentioned Cornish Pasty earlier.
They're good.
That's kind of an Arizona thing. Obviously inspired by European type foods, but they have several locations around, which are pretty good. Mm-hmm. Who else did we?
I'd have to give my buddy Sammy at Lux a shout out.
Oh yeah, Lux. Mm-hmm. Yeah, really good coffee and a lot of really Lux good snacks.
Lux is awesome. Yeah,
drinks. Cool.
Is there I guess my question is there a coffee place that serves coffee and beer?
Oh yeah,
Sip.
Where?
Sip Coffee. Sip.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, wow.
36th Street and Indian School, and then there's also one in Old Town Scottsdale. We actually had a Moto Social there in January.
Isn't it literally Sip Coffee and Beer, isn't it?
Yeah,
literally,
Coffee and Beer.
And it's built in an old Jiffy Lube, so they have the garage doors that roll up on both sides.
The drive-thru, you go through and it goes ding-ding.
I could have swore I'd been there.
Yeah, if anybody's familiar with it, they used to have, in the oil change bay below, that used to be a tiki bar called Undertow.
Oh, I've been in there.
But they've moved it, I think,
across
next door.
Across the street to Century Grand. But now there's a new bar underneath that I haven't been to yet. Yeah,
There is a bar that is down. Is that the one that has a tiki bar?
That was Undertow, yeah.
Current now they're gone.
They moved out of that space. And gotten much more fancy.
Because I would be disappointed if I'm like, let's take my wife out. Let's check out this place. And I go down there and it's
They just change oil now.
It is cool. Yeah. It's still cool.
It was super cool. I mean, it was super tiny, though. It was maybe eight people at a time. And you have to wait, get a reservation like a month ahead.
Sip now has their own bar underneath. It's called like 15 Below or something.
Yeah.
But it's like a... Yeah, it's a cocktail bar down underneath there still. Nice. And they're in the little oil change pit, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Are you guys into music? Do you guys go to concerts or any events?
Oh, my God, yes.
Yes.
We talked about metal earlier, but just metal. I love all music, but go ahead. What's your most recent concert?
My most recent concert with the pandemic was actually in Joshua Tree at a drive. So I had my truck. We drove in. It was a drive-in concert. It was just some folk kind of thing, whatever. So that's technically my last concert. My last real concert was Helmet at Crescent Ballroom. I've been to hundreds of shows.
Yeah. Crescent, honestly, is probably one of my favorite venues.
I haven't been
there fantastic.
Yet. Really?
Yeah, because I moved to before everything shut down, so I'm super excited about going.
It feels like you have enough space. Like, I like the fact that they have the benches up in the back, so you can kind of, get away from me. I don't want to be in the mosh pit or anything. But I love that venue. Van Buren's another good one. Marquee, I've been there so many times, it's just kind of whatever to me now. But
they bring in some...
Don't block me, Marquee, from ever going in.
Okay. Marquee brings in some cool acts. The venue itself, when I'm there, I don't really feel inspired when I'm at that venue itself, though. Mm-hmm. Not to say that I won't go to any, but...
The Nile is cool.
Yeah. Whenever anything was playing in the underground...
Yeah.
Dude, I'm about it.
I haven't been to shows since I moved here, and my entire life is live. That's how JP and I became friends, was finding out that we had friends in common in bands from across the country. Mm-hmm. So I'm really looking forward to going and seeing people play.
Yeah, three of us are pretty insane music geeks here.
Yeah. Very cool. What's your favorite genre, would you say?
My favorite genre is probably actually shoegaze.
Explain.
So shoegaze is... kind of sprouted up in the late 80s, early 90s out of England, the UK, and it's very, very guitar heavy, very wall of sound, very it's hard to explain it without hearing it, but
I'm going on Spotify after this and I'm playing around.
So one of the progenitors of the genre is My Bloody Valentine. Mm-hmm. So the big three are My Bloody Valentine, Slow Dive, and Ride. Those are all UK bands.
Take notes.
And
then I'm typing it right now.
In the US, there's a band called Medicine, which is another one of my favorite bands. And if anybody have you seen The Crow? Remember the movie The Crow?
Yeah, yeah.
Medicine is actually in the movie, and they have a song on the soundtrack.
Is this them right there, Time Baby?
Yeah.
That it?
Yeah. Oh,
that's why I love Spotify. I can just type anything and it pops up.
So, funny story about that. So, Brad Lehner is the singer and frontman of Medicine. And, they broke up in 95 and they got back together in 2013, and being a big music nerd, I knew about it. And I went and I bought the new record from Kimber at Stinkweeds, and Kimber's run Stinkweeds for 30 years, 35 years now. It's
local Phoenix record store.
Yeah. It's iconic. So bought the record from her, and went to the concert in San Diego. And since I'm a nerd, I'm looking through like the liner notes of one of the CDs from like 93, the night before the show, looking through the liner notes and, you know, got all the shout outs and stuff. And Kimber's name is in the shout outs of this record. And I'm like, what the fuck? So I go to the show and it's a tiny show. It's called the San Diego Music Thing. So kind of like San Diego South by Southwest, but smaller. So you can meet the bands and everything. So I'm talking to Medicine as they're bringing all their stuff in and doing their load in. And I'm like, how the fuck do you know Kimber Lanning? And Brad's like, well, how the fuck do you know Kimber Lanning?
Small world.
I'm like, I just bought your record from her at a record store. And he's like, oh, she still has Stinkweeds. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
You know? And so this band that I've admired for more than 20 years has this oddball connection, because apparently Brad and Kimber kind of had, I don't know if they were friends or dating or something like that, whatever, but that's how they know each other. And so this band that I've admired for 20 years, all of a sudden there's this Arizona connection, and it's crazy.
Just made them that much cooler.
No, because I mean, for me, like even these little bands, that's like the fucking Beatles to me. Mm-hmm. So yeah. To meet that and find, you know, to meet him and meet the band and find out there's that connection, my head just exploded.
You know, some of the best shows I've ever been to were just spontaneous. I've never heard of this band, and then they turned out to be super rad. I'd say 50% of the time it was kind of like, this is a bad choice. But the other 50%, I was like, man, you know, you should support your local artists. You know what I mean? Especially local to you.
Oh, yeah.
Like I have a couple friends in the music industry. One that's, his name's Trey Odom. He does a lot of like country style rock. But man, he's touring and he's killing it out in Georgia. So shout out to Trey. But I mean, back to music, like when you go to a show though, I feel like I always have to buy a t-shirt. I always have to buy something to kind of support them, especially with the pandemic and everything going on. And I think that's a huge deal too, man.
Well, you know, like when you're into music and these bands are like important to you, you don't realize that the majority of these bands, like I said, if you're a music nerd, these bands are not big. They're big to you, but in the grand scheme of things, they're not.
Right.
And you don't realize, like maybe when you're younger, that's not their job. I mean, that's a side gig. Mm-hmm. You know, like I've talked to these guys before and like, well, you know, they had to take 2 weeks of vacation.
Yeah, family.
Go on tour, you know, because like I'm a software engineer in Orange County. You're like,
what?
I thought you were just a fucking guitar player for this. But nope.
You shred and you do that?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Nice.
All those things.
It's crazy, you know, learning that kind of thing. And that, I mean, that's the cool thing about smaller bands, smaller venues and stuff. You know, you're talking about, like we mentioned like, Joshua Tree. So everybody's heard of like Queens of the Stone Age, I think, right?
Oh yeah.
So Josh Homme, who is the frontman for Queens of the Stone Age.
Wait, no one knows.
What's that?
No one knows.
No one knows?
Queens of the Stone Age.
Oh.
That was a joke.
Okay, I was like, what?
It sucked, but go ahead.
So.
I was like, I've misgaged
this audience.
I got so
much dad jokes ready to go. It's horrible.
So back in the day, so Josh, I don't think it was his first band, but one of his earlier bands was called Caius. And Caius was small. They're one of the progenitors of like the whole stoner rock, desert rock scene.
Nice.
So they're from Palm Desert. And they used to play literally in the middle of the desert. They were called generator parties. And they would have literally generators, you know, powering their amplifiers and stuff. And back in like the early 90s, I'd go and to these generator parties. I don't even remember how we even heard about them. But they're just, you're in the middle of the desert, like in Joshua Tree or Palm Desert. And, you know, there's like 300, you know, stupid, drunk, and high kids out there listening to music with generators running.
With the bonfires and all that.
Yeah, it's insane. It was like...
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's one of the coolest things
I feel like those
done.
Things, if that happened these days, like it would be helicopters all around just shutting it down. Like,
yeah.
It's not as fun as it used to be back in the day, at least, you know.
You know, we came out of the, and I'm dating myself here, but we came out of the DC punk scene, right?
Yeah.
And that's what I grew up in. And that's what my boyfriend and I, that's where we met. You know, as he worked at the biggest venue, most important venue on the East Coast. Anyway, and that's really what this whole vibe that we've got going reminds me of, is just, you know, nobody thought ever that, you know, Minor Threat was going to do what they did, or God forbid, I mean, Fugazi, you know, that none of, I mean, we knew they were good.
Yeah.
But it was like, oh, hey, Guy and Ian and those guys have a new band, you know, and that was just like as far as it went, and it's going to be $5. And so it's amazing, back to that whole thing and promise and, you know, just doing it yourself because nobody else is doing it the way you want to do it.
Yeah, yeah, so. For sure, man. Go ahead. What do you listen to? What's your genre choice?
Rock and roll. Rock anything, rock and roll,
like AC/DC,
60s, 70s, 80s.
There you go.
I like a lot just heavy music in general. If, not even just rock music, but like heavy. I mean, I'm not into heavy, like, yeah, heavy droney, heavy, like, that hits you in the soul.
I think all three of us agree on Wall of Sound for sure.
Yeah, Wall of Sound.
Yeah.
Nice.
And, yeah.
I like it when the 808, when you're at a concert, boom.
Yep.
Yeah, you're just like, oh, bass. My God, I felt that.
But, yeah, I was in death metal bands and stuff. And
really?
Here in Phoenix for a while.
What'd you play?
I'm a vocalist.
Really? So yes. You got pipes.
I got pipes.
You still got pipes.
I still got pipes.
Oof.
I'm still
in a band. Can you give us a little bit?
That's embarrassing.
Oh, yeah, he's like, there's too many eyes on me, and I got a camera on me.
But check out Flying Scorpion on Spotify if you want to. That's my current band. It's like
you
heavy,
still play.
Heavy Southern rock. Yeah, well, I haven't played since the pandemic has slowed us down a little bit. It hasn't killed us.
I love heavy Southern rock, you know what I mean? Yep. Like that bluesy kind of rock vibe and that sludgy kind of swamp. Feel.
Yeah.
You need to check out Acid Bath if you've not heard of them.
I've heard of them.
Yeah.
It'll pop up every once in a while.
Dax Riggs and Acid Bath. Amazing. Well, they're no longer a band, but Dax Riggs is playing by himself, but amazing band.
That's usually my garage music, like when I'm in the zone. You know, I'll blast some of that stuff. So,
well, the shop music is what I usually put it on. Like, there's this amazing Spotify playlist called Hair Metal Gym.
Nice.
It just plays all the
G Y M or J I M.
Gym, like G Y M. It's got Gymnasium. Like a picture of Arnold Schwarzenegger, I think, on it.
Oh, he's just flexing.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
It's a throwback playlist. Yeah.
Cool, man. So I guess, we're at an hour two. Ooh. That went pretty good. Wow. Yeah. Do you guys got a few more minutes or you want to?
Sure. You want to pop some extra questions or what are you thinking?
Yeah.
Talk more about music. I'm cool.
Yeah. JP will go forever and ever on music.
Yeah. So, like, what is the, probably, how many, I guess my next question is, first off, it's a two-part question. How many bikes have each of you owned in your life?
Hmm.
What would you say? I know you're, like, tallying them up on your head.
Oh, gosh. I'd say probably in the 20s. In the 20s?
20s.
It's like asking how many, I'm not, never mind.
How many girls have you been?
In the two. 20s. I would say it's in the 20s, and I still own more than I probably should at this point because they're all just sitting in storage, but
sitting at 1110,
can't pass up on a good deal. Some of them are at 1110.
I hate that. Yeah. I'll like scroll through the internet and I'm looking at Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist and I'm like, that is a great deal, but I don't have any more room,
right?
Like, what am I gonna do with it?
Well, good deals are out there,
yeah, and they are.
I know we said we weren't gonna talk about this, but I got 4 GPZ 900Rs from California for $800.
Sheesh.
And we're currently building a replica of the Top Gun motorcycle.
Uh-oh.
At 1110.
He said the word.
I said Top Gun.
Oh, man. So how did this whole Top Gun thing start?
We love Top Gun, all of us.
We all love it. That's what it is. No, so I've never seen...
Is it because
seen,
of Tom Cruise? Or is it? Yeah,
Connemara has...
I had
an
never,
insatiable lust for Tom Cruise.
I do. God, he said the personality.
Can we
is
say
just
Tom
so
Cruise on? I don't think they can say that on YouTube.
Oh, dude, we're gonna get demonetized.
We have to edit that. Just, just bleep it out.
Yeah. So I had never seen the movie.
What?
And I had JP was deeply, mortally offended by this fact, and I was like, I don't care.
I almost
don't
did, but then
it.
I realized he probably got more offended than I just did. So I'll
he's
just
still
let
mad. And so then finally, this is okay. I'm gonna get myself in trouble. So a couple of months ago, I was watching SNL, like the next.
Yeah,
and Pete Davidson referred to it as "Brokeback in the Sky," and I was like, "My interest is peaked now. What is he talking about?" So we sat down and watched it, and my mic just cut out.
Oh, how's that? Yeah.
I think that's one of the movies that got me into motorcycling, just because I thought that was a cool bike.
Yeah,
and me and JP both have GPZs now.
Nice.
Yeah.
What do you guys plan on doing with them? Just kind of,
well,
do anything insane or
my GPZ is not the Top Gun style bike. Mine's the one in Top Gun is actually Ninja. I think that was
Ninja.
Like the first Ninja.
Yeah.
So my GPZ is the 81 550, which is the first GPZ, which is the grandfather to the modern Kawasaki Ninjas.
So the king of all kings.
Yeah.
So you're flexing when you're riding.
Maybe. I don't know. A lot of people
like
it.
That's what I would do.
You know, back in the day, though, that was the GPZ. It's hard to find one that's in good shape because that was the bike that was tracked.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all clapped out if you can find one.
Yeah.
You know.
Share a little bit of history about it. I mean, I love the fact that you guys know those kind of styles, and I'm not even going to sit here and act like I know all those styles. So when you share that information with people, I think it opens up their minds to think outside the box of just being so two-dimensional and this is the bike that I want. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Maybe it'll open up their mind and shit, I want to pick one up now.
Well, God. Like the...
Not a so clapped out one though.
Kawasaki was kind of known as like the muscle bike back in the 70s. You know, kind of stemming from like the original two-stroke H1, H2s, so 500cc and 750cc triples. Mm-hmm. And they were kind of death machines. The chassis weren't worth a shit, but the engines were pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. And like the original, what is it? So the 900? What was the original? The KZ, was it 900?
The Z1?
Was the like Z, there was the Z1, the turbocharged one, the like ice blue.
Yeah. And then it was a KZ900 that kind of eventually morphed into the GPZ.
Yeah.
They had like a 1000, 1100. Those are all air-cooled bikes.
Yeah.
JP's.
Inline fours.
JP's is an air-cooled inline four. And then in the 1984, they developed the Ninjas, and they turned it into a Ninja. So that's where it came from. The one from Top Gun is the very first Ninja 900 cc's. They added a lot more. It's water cooled now. They added more valves. It's like a super bike, basically. It was the first or the fastest production bike at the time, which is, I think, why they picked it for Top Gun, because they wanted to kind of emphasize this need for speed. And the bike's, you know, iconic. It's iconic, and I'm sure Kawasaki had no idea that it was gonna be, because they didn't sponsor it.
Right, right.
They pulled all the Kawasaki stickers off.
Yeah, the branding's off it. Yeah.
But they caught up with the new Top Gun movie coming out. Kawasaki's a little smarter this time.
Yeah, I never would have known that. I never would have known that unless you said something. So now it's like I'm gonna watch it and be like, oh, I know what that is now.
So the bike we're working on is a replica of the movie bike, gonna be revealed at the Front Row Moto Show. I think that's when we're gonna. The cover off, and then after that, it's going to be at Kelly's Kawasaki for the movie promotion period.
Wow!
So it's going to be at the biggest Kawasaki dealership in Arizona on display.
That's awesome.
During the whole promotional period for the movie, maybe there's some talks that it might appear at a red carpet event at one of the local Harkins movie theaters. Not quite sure yet, but we'll see. We'll figure it out.
Can you share the movie?
Top Gun 2.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. I didn't even know they're coming out with another
Top Gun
2.
Oh, yeah.
I'm learning so much.
It's been on hiatus for like a year and a half now with COVID. You know, they're waiting to maximize their profits.
Yeah, they want to get everybody in the theaters.
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. Because for so long, it's just been kind of like you can just rent it at home, but I never got that same vibe. You know, going to the movie theater is fun. So
a lot of people, like, they don't want to do that for this one. They want to get people out.
Yeah. you got to come in person.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Can't wait.
You can't wait.
I'm so excited.
Really nice. Are you guys going to make a big night out of it?
I think we're going to. I will be happy for these two and everybody else that they're happy. I will be happy. And we don't disagree. I mean, Chris and I went and saw we geeked out and went and saw the first 10 minutes of Dune together when they showed it at the IMAX because I got
so Yeah, we love movies. We're all
nice.
But yeah, that one's just.
I'm in a big, just like bloody, gory meat. Explosions kind of movies, you know what I mean? So if it has any of those top three things, I'm in.
Nice. Yeah. So.
I think when Top Gun came out, again, dating myself, it wasn't my style of movie when I was a teenager. Blue Velvet came out the same year, David Lynch, and I was much more into that sort of thing back then. So
Top Gun is an art film, though.
Is it?
It is, yes.
Is it, though?
It is.
100%.
It sounds pretty solid. It sounds like it's pretty set in stone.
I'm happy for you that you found something that you love.
Yeah, I think we're going to make a whole night out of it, though, and you'll have to rewatch, because we're going to rewatch the original one.
What's wrong with military aviation? It's amazing.
It is.
I think that's a different podcast.
I mean, we can go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, seriously, yeah. I think military aviation is great, except that you're missing our trip to Bisbee because of it. I think movies are great, and I think motorcycles are great.
Bisbee. Mm-hmm.
I like Anthony Edwards a whole lot, and Val Kilmer. And if you guys haven't seen that
Val is amazing. That is amazing. I was actually surprised.
The documentary on Val Kilmer is heartbreaking, but it's so good.
Is it on like Netflix or something?
Yeah,
I think it's Amazon and Prime. Maybe
I got to be careful in Netflix because I like documentaries, and I will be stuck for days. Mm-hmm. You know, like I got to remove myself from this couch because there's some very interesting stuff on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yep.
I've learned a lot just watching Netflix documentaries.
Look how smart we are.
Yeah. Well, I guess these days, you know, you don't really got to go to college to learn anything. You just go on YouTube and pretty much learn whatever you want.
Everything's fine.
Besides vocals, you can't learn that. You know, you just got to yell.
And be born with it.
Yeah. How'd you find out that you were a vocalist? You just started screaming one day and, hey, man, come in this band.
Oh, it just goes way back to when I was a child in the choir and stuff.
Oh, okay. So you had the pipes developed then. I was always encouraged to
sing, and my mom was always singing, and we were always watching musicals and stuff. We had this weird connection, Connemara and I, because her boyfriend, Chad, is probably on the same level with me as growing up listening to musicals like Phantom of the Opera at Jesus Christ Superstar, just all these random.
Jesus Christ Superstar is a big deal for these two, and they will bust out. Like, it's great.
That's a real band name?
It's a musical.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's on Netflix, I think.
Really?
Yeah, you should watch it.
Yeah.
I've just never been a fan of musicals, but if you guys are saying it's cool.
Well, it's like a rock opera, man. It's like.
Seriously, like, the level of cool that goes on in this film is, like, ridiculous. Like, okay. You're just like, I'll never be that cool. Like, you want to talk about, like, basically. Caius Generator Parties before Caius Generator Parties is Jesus Christ
Jesus
Superstar.
Christ Superstar.
I made that statement. I'll stand by it.
Okay.
Places we never thought we'd go in the podcast with 11 yeah. 10.
No, I like that. I don't like it being scripted. It just kind of goes as it goes. So I'm cool with that, and it's been fine. All right. Well, man, you guys have pretty much nailed everything. I don't want to take up all your time. I know that there's the Super Bowl kickoff going on right now.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are so pumped about that. So. Yeah.
You sure we can't talk for another half an hour?
Yeah, just to make sure it ends. Yeah, dude. Are you guys doing any kind of like tours or just kind of like your own low key thing?
We just play around.
That's
just
awesome.
For fun. It's just for fun type thing.
Connemara, would you join into their band if you could?
I don't think she's experienced much.
No, I haven't, and I think I'd make it much better. Like I've always seen myself as a tour manager. I have that kind of
hated
personality.
Right, you know? Right. But stay away from the band, okay?
Unless it's business. I make it happen.
Stop drinking.
And what?
No. That's kind of what the managers do.
You would tell us.
Yell at the bus driver. Yell at the band. Yell at the roadies. Yell at the fans. And then make sure everybody gets out of the hotel and onto the bus again. I think
are roadies groupies?
I mean, if they're smart groupies, they're roadies.
Oh, gotcha.
Again, another podcast.
Ah, I like that.
You know what? Interesting story about roadies, though. One of the guys that rode with us, this guy named Bob Chapman, he passed away from COVID, but he was from England. He was a roadie for Motorhead.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. Super interesting guy. Super nice guy. I was really bummed to hear that he passed away.
Now I have We Are the Road Crew.
So roadies.
See how I did that?
Roadies and groupies, right? Roadies are the guys that set up the shows. The equipment.
Yes.
Groupies are the people that like to tag along. And
groupies are the ones that set up the
entertainment?
The
in a way, yes.
They set up the equipment of maybe the lead singer.
Oh.
Not so much.
Almost never the drummer or the bass player, you know. I know.
Making sure their mics and picks and drumsticks are all functional.
Yeah. Wow. These analogies are
a little too much. Yeah. I mean, if anyone knows what we're saying, they know what we're saying. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I hope so.
Google it.
Yeah. The artwork behind you and that little frame is from Iron Maiden. The artist, he actually did that, and me and my wife ran into him, and got it signed, and that was pretty awesome. Cool.
That's rad.
It's probably the only cool metal thing that I have in the shop right now.
I see a Jackson over here, and I've got what
I used to play guitar.
I play guitar. I don't play much anymore, but I mean,
same.
I played on and off for 35 years or so now. But
yeah, I got a couple amps in the back, and then every once in a while, you know, I'll play, but it sounds like shit. So I'm not as good.
A crate back there or something like that. I saw.
Yeah.
And we got a little mini Fender at the shop, and people always grab the guitar and start shredding. Somebody owes me a guitar strings, though. I don't
probably
know.
Chad.
Oh, really?
I'm gonna go.
I think Brian said he broke it.
Brian was.
I think. I don't know. I don't know if he knocked it over or whatever.
Put everyone on trial.
I think JP right, too broke it, and is trying to blame it on other people. You know, I'll get him.
This is the ugly truth.
I don't break strings. I've always been like super gentle on strings. Like,
he's gentle.
All the strings on my guitars are super old because I don't. I just like how old strings sound. But
you got to play pretty hard to break a string, or long enough to eventually it'll break. But
or poorly. Which
or,
I've done.
Or poorly. Yeah, definitely. Have you played any kind of like crazy two-head guitars or anything like that? Or
no, not like...
Mostly electric?
I have electric and acoustic. I like a lot of like the Zeppelin-y kind of vibe stuff. So I have some exotic instruments. Like I've had a sitar at one point. I've had...
Oh, nice.
I have something called an oud, which is similar to an old, like an English lute. Mm-hmm. Oud is like a... and Arabic lute basically predates the lute. I have something called a rawap, which came from, I think, like Kazakhstan or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Have you been to the MIM?
I have.
Yeah.
That, in fact, that's where I found out. So the rawap that I have, my mom got that for me in an estate sale years and years ago, and I had no idea what it was. And I talked to some exotic music stores on the internet trying to find out what this was, and they never got an answer for me. And
some of those things that are funky. I was like, is that a musical instrument?
Yeah, there's. So I went to the MIM, and they had like five of these rawaps hanging on the wall. I'm like, okay, I guess that's what it is.
Yeah.
Musical instrument museum for those people, who do not know it.
People who are not in Phoenix, literally have the musical instrument museum.
We're all saying it like,
and if you've not been to the MIM is world class, and you must go.
It's two stories. You could see all kinds of instruments from all over the world, and you have headphones on. You can actually hear the instruments. It's pretty cool.
Play the song of them.
Plan, if you're coming into town and you really want to do it, plan 2 days. Or plan your visit carefully so you see and hear what you want to see and hear, because it's a lot.
The downstairs, though, that was my favorite part at the end, is you see like Johnny Cash, you know, Elvis, and then you see all these like classics and their outfits and the actual instruments that they used to play. Like, it was unreal, like seeing all that stuff.
I got to see Stevie Ray Vaughan's guitar.
Nice.
Which is, Stevie Ray Vaughan's a god to me.
I used to I was getting good at shovel guitar, even though it's really not that intricate to learn how to play. It's just sliding the guitar, but that was a fun instrument. It definitely has that bluesy feel, and I'm a big fan of old school blues.
Yeah.
Like, I love that stuff, so. Oh, man. I could talk music for days. Cars, motorcycles, like, I swear.
If you want to do a music podcast, I think all of us would come back and just do that, too.
I think we should do a part two.
I'm in.
Sure. I think that'd be awesome. Yeah. We got to do it after your guys' event, though, because I know you guys are probably really busy with that. Yeah. So.
April 3rd.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff coming up, though.
Name them all.
I think we got Moto Socials happening all the time every month. Mm-hmm. Two Wheel Tuesdays happening every month. But we got March 5th is that Melrose Festival where we're going to do the Mods versus Rockers.
Yeah, at Short Leash Hot Dogs and Short Leash. The Associated Businesses in the Melrose District on 7th Avenue.
And then March 19th, I think, is the actual day of the show, which is going to be the Prowl in Bisbee.
Yeah.
It's like they're bringing back this old Howl and Prowl, which is an old chopper show.
Just camping out there and having a good time.
Just taking over the Main Street, downtown Bisbee, yeah.
Got to give a shout out to our buddy Justin. So Justin owns the Shady Dell in Bisbee, which is, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's a hotel, and it's basically... Airstream trailers and some other oddball, some
buses,
eccentricities, I should say, that are the hotel rooms, and it's amazing. Yeah, like, if you haven't been, you should go.
Yacht that you can stay in, or like a bus that they converted.
What?
Yeah. It's amazing.
So that's happening.
Like a nice town. I haven't been to Bisbee in so long. It's cool.
That's happening on the 19th
of March.
We're going of March, yes. We're going. And then April 3rd is Front Row Moto Show, and I think after that. I would love to go to Handbuilt on the following weekend, and then there's several other shows happening for the rest of the year. Tons of cool stuff.
It's just good to have it all back. You know what I mean? I feel like it's slowly getting back to normal life. Like, you can actually experience the life. You know what I mean? Last 2 years has kind of sucked for everyone. Just kind of been a little depressing, you know? We just basically pulled the rug from all of our lifestyles and what we do, you know? So.
And moving to a new city. I mean, like 2 months before this happened. Mm. And I mean, if I hadn't had these guys, I don't know how I would have done it.
You couldn't experience anything. So,
Our monthly events, and I'm sure Chris was getting to this, but if you go to our Instagram story highlights, they're all listed there.
Yeah, you guys are really good at keeping people updated with the events that are going on.
I think that helps. I mean, we hear that a lot, that it's so easy to figure out where we are, what we're doing, what's happening, and what you can be involved with. That, and we do it on purpose.
It works.
We want people there.
That's whenever we have our monthly car and bike show here, I have to post it up at least once a day up until the event. Mm-hmm. You know, it does get annoying, I'm sure, for people, but everyone scrolls through their pages for so quick, and no one's reading anything, so you got to repost. Well,
everybody's ADD nowadays, so you have to hammer the point home, I guess, for people
that's a good point.
Have it, you know, register with them.
Yeah.
So it is what it is.
Yeah, we were supposed to have ours today, actually, but I decided to have more fun and record some podcasts.
Nice.
So I'm cool with that. Did.
Yeah. Well, so I'm so pumped to have you guys out here, man. I'm excited to see what you guys do in the future. I mean, you guys have some really big plans, and I'm just pumped to see you guys doing something for Arizona. You know what I mean? And the people and bringing everyone together. I think that's super important. Man. So give everyone a shout out. Your guys' Instagram, if you want to give your personals, any side projects you're working on. This is you. Take the floor.
Go 1110garage.com, 1110garage on Facebook and Instagram. I think I'll leave it there because you can find all my stuff anyway just from those items. So, yeah, anybody else has a shout-out?
I'll just add the Moto Social. You can follow their accounts, and then the four of us hosts will post leading up to each one and then a little bit after. So we really are looking forward to seeing people at those, too.
Nice. Anything, JP?
Blacklist.
Blacklist Moto. That's mm-hmm. our writing group. I run that Instagram. It's kind of I don't post on there that much, but it's there. It's at Blacklist Moto.
Maybe because you're actually like living your life and actually, you know what I mean?
That's part of it. You know, a lot of it, like I'll post stuff on like my personal Instagram too. And it's just, it's for me, you know? And like, you know, there's people who are like, well, why don't you do this? Because I don't care.
I get that a lot.
I'm not trying to really, you know, it's like with cell phones, you know, like people are like, well, why don't you answer your phone or answer your text? It's like, cause it's my cell phone for me. It's not for you to reach me.
You tell them,
you know, yeah. That's how
you
I feel about
girl.
Instagram.
Tell
that's our JP.
So,
I mean, yep.
It sucks you got to do that, but it's like, dude, you know, I ain't like, I don't live my life for you. So yeah. I get it. I get it.
I didn't buy this $1,000 phone and, you know, spending $75 a month for my coverage for everybody else to reach me. It's
I do not entertain
mine.
You.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Another cool, thing I should say go too ahead. Is we are still looking for unique entries to the Front Row Moto Show. Yeah. So if you have a bike that's sitting in the back corner of your garage, that's something cool that doesn't normally see the light of day, you want to bring it out, or if you've got a show bike that you love to show off and you always show it off, we love to show it off for you too. Anything unique, movie bikes, race bikes, survivors, classics,
rat
80s
bikes.
Retros, rat bikes,
rat
anything.
Bikes.
Is there anything super specific that we want to see that we haven't seen or that somebody hasn't reached out about?
I mean, I'd love to see the actual 1984 GPZ 900 from Top Gun.
Sure.
There. I mean, yeah.
Anything with very big rectangular turn signals.
Yeah.
I think we need more of that.
The bigger the better.
We've got a Vespa scooter with the camper trailer coming. I mean, there's all kinds of cool stuff. And it doesn't have to fit in within a certain genre. It can be anything, really.
Yeah.
We're open to whatever. As long as it's unique and people look at it and go, this is cool.
As long as you love it and you want to talk about how much you love it, somebody will be there to talk with about how much you love it.
Yep, basically just summed it up right there.
Yeah.
If you love it enough, I'm pretty sure at least someone there is going to love it enough too. So bring it out. Cool, man. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that event, dude. And you're doing it every year, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Cool. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening. We're going to wrap it up here. I appreciate these guys taking the time to come out here, and we are definitely going to do a part 2. I'm excited to see it. We'll have something to talk about after the show. So you know what I mean? We'll be able to relive that.
Members. No. Oh yeah, she's not back.
You're like, go fill some other seat. Yeah. All right, cool. Well, thank you guys so much for coming out. We're gonna wrap it up here, and you guys stay tuned for the next one. Bye bye.